us in his image to serve him and love him, but we have rebelled and chose to serve ourselves. God loved us so much that he sent his son to redeem us to himself, to shed his blood on our behalf, to save us from that which we cannot save us from ourselves, and to reconcile us to him forever. So he came in the form of a man, that he walked, that he did good, he was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power, but he was crucified by his own people. He died and was buried after 3 days according to the scriptures. He resurrected from the grave, conquering sin and death. He ascended on high and he poured his Spirit in our hearts. Thank you very much. Bye-bye, donkey. And Mackie, yeah, week after week, thank you for serving us with the slides. Pierre, bye, donkey. Thank you for serving us with the sound. Norita, with the video. And Stefan, thanks for the Oros. The power was off this morning, so we couldn't boil you coffee. There will be coffee after the service. Corne Becker always said that coffee is one of the tangible signs of the love of God. It's a tangible sign of the love of God. It's like a spread the love. The slide up there, I chose it intentionally. A picture paints 1,000 words. 557 years before Jesus was born, Nebuchadnezzar, the emperor of Babylon, the great emperor of the Chaldean people, built that gate to commemorate his greatness in the city of Babylon. Great, mighty king. And you will ask the same question that I did. Why on earth, if you build such a great gate, why would you put unicorns on it? Maybe I didn't call for help. Maybe Altus, if you can just switch off the phone there at the back. Thanks. But why on earth would you? So probably he had a granddaughter, and she wanted on this great gate dedicated to his god Ishtar. She wanted unicorns, and she probably wanted like rainbow unicorns. But he said that's one step too far. He'll go for it's funny. But why I put it up there is because the book we're going to read about today, Daniel, was written during the reign of him, just after him, during and after, was a real historic person, a great emperor. Probably, chapter 6 of Daniel, probably, after building this is one of the last construction things that he did, great king Nebuchadnezzar, probably he stood on his temple, his palace roof, he looked over the city and said, look at all the greatness that I did with my own power. And that's when the God of heaven, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, had a meeting with him and said, no, man, you have what you have because of my grace. And he became crazy for a season. But it's amazing. So that I just wanted to show you that. It's an historic place, historic city, a great city. And, you know, probably Daniel, because he was such a high city official, government official, probably he was at the dedication of that table, most probably. He was at the dedication of this temple, dedicated to the god Ishtar, Babylonian goddess. And this man should have stood there frustrated that his emperor still didn't get it. After all the lessons, you know, after his friends walked through the fire, after he went through the lion's den, you know, just before he went crazy, you know, must have been so difficult to be a believer who holds on, because this was still early days. This was 30 years into the exile. The exile would have lost after that. I mean, after this, he became crazy, had a moment of sanity again. And then obviously his son Belteshazzar came, and his son Belteshazzar of Belshazzar. was the next emperor. Wasn't really the son of Nebuchadnezzar, but it's the son of Nebuchadnezzar, you know, one who grew up under him in his emperor. And you know, remember that scene of the writing on the wall? Daniel was an older man, still serving, and he was having a great feast again while being at war with the Persians. How arrogant, King Cyrus. How arrogant. While being at war, he said, my city is so strong and so powerful, no one can breach these walls. And he was right. No one could breach the walls. So he was still in there. And all of a moment, while they were still feasting on the inside, and the Bible says the gods partook in the feast. They were all looking inside because who can scale these walls? No one. The next moment, a hand came writing, not known by your love, but a hand came writing on the wall in blood, writing, you've been tested, weighed, and found wanting, boy. And this evening, the kingdom will be taken away from you. Daniel was brought in to interpret the writing on the wall. And the Bible says in that moment, or history says in that moment, that's when the Persian army, who laid dry the river, the Euphrates River, and they walked under the gates of this great city, under the walls, and it was, in history, it's called the Bloodless War. No one died. They were feasting, and the whole Persian army came in. Cyrus the Great became the emperor of Babylon and the whole empire. For a short season afterwards, the kings fled to Susan, but he was captured eventually. And it's amazing. So King Cyrus, King Nebuchadnezzar, Emperor Belshazzar, Cyrus, then came Darius, the next one. In all this time, Daniel and his friends and so many other Jews are captive in this great city and the city surrounding it. And they're waiting on God for restoration. They know they are here because of our sins, because of what we've done, because of two things. Maybe, Mackie, there's a slide that says the historic context, slide number 6. So two things, because of the idolatry of the people, because they worshipped other gods, because they just couldn't keep it together and recognize that there is one God. Hear, Israel, the Lord your God is one. You shall worship no other God. They just couldn't keep it together. They participated in the feast and the worship of the goddess, the Babylonian gods of fertility. And he says, okay, great. You wanna serve their great gods? Then go and enjoy a season in their hospitality. See the harshness of these gods. These gods, these people, see the harshness. There was in there, and the second thing was obviously injustice. Everyone lived for himself and said, well, I earned my money myself. And if I can earn more money, I will earn more money by myself. It's not my responsibility to care for someone who's poor or foreigner or lazy or blind or deaf. It's not my responsibility to do any of those things. I will only care for myself. But God says, listen, you were slaves, you were foreigners, I showed compassion on you, come in. This is how you should deal. The orphan, the widow, the foreigner, and the poor. You should always care for them. So injustice and idolatry. And it's amazing. One thing God did right. You know, Jews never, ever, after this 70 years, bowed down to any other gods. It's amazing. So it's amazing. So this historic happened. So let me read the text. So we're busy. Maybe just the second slide, Mackie. I'm jumping up and down. The second slide. We're busy with a series on Lectio, on reading the Bible reflectively, prayerfully. And it's a heart's desire that in the season that you will, again, that God will awaken in you a passion, a passionate discipline, a love, a devoted discipline. I'm going to do this every day. A discipline to read the word and receive from God. Not to read the word to get the laws, read the word to get the promises, not to read the word to look at examples of godly people, but read the word to have communion with the living God. That's my heart's desire. This is our prayer for you. We pray that this is what you will do. And Lectio has 4 phases. We're busy in week number 3. The first one we read from Peter is just to pay attention to the word. Just read the word. Just read it. Read the word. Sit there. Get it in your heart. Read it. Devoted love for the word. Secondly, is a reflective reading. You read and then you take a while to see, what does this mean, you know? Who wrote this? What does this mean? If it's an allegory, if it's a poem of a psalm, you know, get to understand, what does this mean? What does this mean? You know, question. to ponder it, to reflect on it, to hide it in your heart, to sing it, to poet, to draw it. I frequently draw pictures when I draw the Bible, because a picture paints a thousand words. You know, I can write the journal 2 pages, or I can draw one picture, and I get it. Nah? Lazy. And then the third one we're looking at today is to respond, to allow what happens on the inside, just to respond. It's God's words to you. So just pray it back. Say, God, this is what I hear. This is what I see. Or sometimes you will act on other things. I was thinking now while we're worshiping, you know, we do the same when you get a SMS from a colleague or an email from that contractor, that one, and you look at that and you think about these words and you are filled with anger or frustration. Well, we do the same with when you're in love. You read the words and you go like, wow, isn't he great? Isn't he lovely? And then you respond lovingly. And so we do the same. The point is, do the same with the Bible. Okay, so let's read Daniel chapter 9. It was the first year of the reign of Darius the Mede. Darius, the Persian. So it was Nebuchadnezzar. It was Belshazzar. And then King Cyrus took over Babylon, became the emperor of the Babylonians and all of the Middle East, the Persian. And then after him came Darius. The year is 522 before Christ. It was the first year of the reign of Darius the Mede, the son of Ahasuerus, who became king of the Babylonians. During the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, learned from reading the word of the Lord. You will get three words in this text. I read, I prayed, I saw. Okay, so first one, our reading. So Daniel was reading. It's amazing. This boy, this man, now an old man, has been in exile for nearly 70 years. By this time, 64 years. For nearly 70 years, he's been in exile. He served in the palace of three emperors, pagan guys. Was serving them faithfully. But the Bible says in chapter 6 that Daniel went to pray, as was his custom since his youth, three times a day. Daniel had a devoted relationship with God. You know what I love about the reading now? We know he's going to read from, because he says here, I read from the word of the Lord, Yahweh, as revealed by Jeremiah the prophet, because Jeremiah was prophesying about the exile when Daniel was a small boy and both of them were exiled together. And you know what? It was Jeremiah's chapter 29, the same chapter he's rereading again now after 70 years. He's rereading the same chapter because he read when he was a young man, he read from chapter 29 saying that don't seek to run away in exile and don't just wait out your time. But chapter 29 verse 47, but seek the peace of the city in which I make you to be a captive. Stay there, reflect there, seek the peace of the city, build homes, live in it, plant vineyards, your kids are going to enjoy it, plant olive groves, your kids are going to enjoy it. You're going to be here for generations, make your kids, seek, may the kingdom of God come to this pagan city. That's why you're here. I sent you here. And just a few verses later, it says that you will only be there for 70 years. So now he's rereading it and he's got another eyes on it. And he goes like, it's been nearly 70 years. It's time's up. It's like my prison sentence is over. It's like a vakantie gaan aanbreek, you know? It's like 8 weeks till Christmas. It's only 8 weeks. I can open my Advent. It's like opening an Advent calendar. Anyway, so I turned to the Lord God and I pleaded with him in prayer and fasting. I also wore a rough burlap and sprinkled myself with ashes. It's a custom that when you were fasting, to really withhold everything pleasant to you, as a means to say, God, I'm dependent on your grace only. I weaken myself so that your strength can come, because I can't solve this problem. That's what it comes down to. Psalm 69, I humbled myself with prayer. So the first one I read. Second one, I prayed to the Lord my God, to Yahweh my God. And I confessed, oh Lord, you are great and awesome God. You always fulfill your covenant and you keep your promises of unfailing love to those who love you and obey your commands. But we, your people, we've sinned and we've done wrong. We've rebelled against you and we've scorned your commands and your regulations. Oh, Yahweh, hear. Oh, Yahweh, forgive. Oh, Yahweh, listen and act. For your own sake, do not delay. Oh, my God, for your people and your city bear your name. He's saying, speaking about Jerusalem. And then, as I was praying, something happened. I saw Gabriel. So Gabriel, the angel whom I'd seen in the earlier vision, He came to me swiftly at a time of the evening sacrifice. He explained to me, Daniel, I've come here to give you insight and understanding. The moment you began praying, a command was given. And now I'm here to tell you what it was. For you are very precious to God. Listen carefully so that you can understand the meaning of your vision. He gave him a vision of seven weeks, seven times 7 weeks. And then he gave again a vision of 62 sevens. And it's an amazing messianic prophecy. It's one of the clearest messianic prophecy. God said to him, God gave him encouragement, because this guy has been serving these pagan emperors, but he's waiting to return for God's kingdom to come again so he can come back to Jerusalem. He's waiting for the restoration. And he looked, and the prophecy said 7 times 7. 49 years later, the temple was rebuilt. Again, everyone was back, and the temple was rebuilt. And another 62 times 7, 439 years later, and his kingdom was fulfilled when Christ was crucified in 32 after Christ. But the point is, Daniel received a vision with understanding, saying one thing: I have not forgotten you. I've not forgotten your people. I've not forgotten your promises. I am faithful. And yes, this is my word. You will go home. My temple will be rebuilt, and my kingdom will be fulfilled. The Messiah will come. It's a messianic vision, beautiful prophecy. But I want to focus on three things. But just before we do that, how can I relate to this text? You know, because some of you are in exile. It's reality, huh? A few people in this church today are far away from their own countries because they had to flee. So you can completely identify with this text. What does harsh government do? So I can relate to the fact that I'm a believer in a secular society, an increasingly secular society, you know. Daniel was allowed to pray alone, but he was not allowed to go against the culture of his day, to speak out against the culture of his day. When Nebuchadnezzar said, everyone will bow down to my statue when the music play, you're welcome to pray whatever you pray, but dude, when this happens, you will not go against the current. You will not speak against the current. You may not do these things. And Daniel, it was difficult. It was a city filled with corruption, oppression, and perversion. But Daniel was a man who longed for the restoration of God's kingdom on earth. It's a man who longed for that. I can identify with that. I can identify with, God, let your kingdom come. Oh, God, when will the drug syndicates and the kidnapping syndicates, God, when will corruption in our government stop? God, when will there be peace? God, when will I no longer fear to send my kids out in stream? One of the greatest promises in the Bible is that Zechariah's prophecy, who prophesied in this time a little bit later, he prophesied and he said, guys, don't worry. Again, the streets will be filled, Zechariah chapter 8, will be filled with the sound of children playing in the streets again. And old men and old women will again walk in the streets of Jerusalem without fear of anything. And I'm thinking, there's a prophecy om deur te bid. That I don't worry that my kids can cycle to school like I did, without me fearing anything, you know, just something practical. It's been a long time longing for restoration, but when will it come? And then the frustration. Frustration is a complex emotion of being angry at something that's wrong and a powerlessness to do something about it. Men know that feeling. We don't want to admit that we're frustrated, because then we have to say that we're powerless. But frustrated is fine, you know. But the frustration that I can't fix this. I can't fix this. I'm here and I'm serving in this palace. I'm doing what I can, but things aren't changing. The emperors are changing. The godlessness is increasing. I can't fix this. It's got a secular job. I have my job. I'm an auditor at Zars. I'm a construction man, a carpenter who builds stuff. You know, I work at Sunlum and I sell homes. I'm someone who's a marketeer. You know, I'm a doctor in the hospital. I can't fix everything. I'm not the one who's supposed to call everyone. I can't say, let my people go. I'm not that guy. I can't do that. But his spiritual concerns is for the restoration, for godliness. And I can relate to that. I really can relate to that. So this is what I love about this text. And this is what we're talking about today, is about responding to the word of God. Because Daniel was praying like he did every day. Daniel was reading the scrolls as he did every day. I wonder how many times he read Jeremiah's scroll. But this day, and you know that feeling, sometimes you read the Bible and you go like, I've read this text so many times, I've never seen this. you know, it's been there all the time. I went over it, but it's never been revealed to me. And he was reading the text, and all of a sudden, as he was reading the text, there was a revelation that said 70 years. And he goes like, duh, 70 years. It's twice in chapter 26 and chapter 29, 70 years. It's just 70 years. And as he was praying, as he was reading, he was just moved to saying, God, now's the time. This is the moment. 70 years is almost up. I'm going to pray. And he sat down. He put himself down. But it's what I just want you to see. It comes from a devotional lifestyle. This massive God encounter. And please don't go over into, oh, yeah, the cool encounter. This is the encounter that caused a few things. The hope that came to all of Israel and even Christians after that about a Messiah that will come that will fix everything was given because of this little moment of him putting down his head and reading the scroll as he did every other day. Moreover, we can see in chapter 10, he continues 3 years later as he was fasting and praying again because this spurred something in his life about fasting and praying. We can see there's another angelic visitation that says, listen, the moment you started praying, I went out and there was a massive warfare. I fought against the principalities of Persia. And you go like, ooh, that's cool. No, no. I was fighting spiritually against the guys, the demons, the strongholds, who was holding everyone captive in Persia. And because of your prayer and fasting, everyone is loosed. And that's when the command came, let my people go. That's when Nehemiah was said, you're welcome to go back. Zerubbabel, take back the people, rebuild the temple. That's when all of those things. It was spurred because of, not, I'm going to say, the only prayer, but also this man's prayer. And it all started with him reading the scroll, reading the prophecy, the word of God, studying it, and God moved him. He was moved. He was meditating on the word, and it moved him. It moved him. He prayed. Unleashed, and as he was praying, the angel Gabriel came and says, listen, as you were praying, another word of God was unleashed. God is speaking back to you again. And this is the vision of God. It's like a conversation starter. He's praying, and all of a sudden there's an God is saying, let my people go. And something was released in the spirit. And his prayer, his time of prayer is spurred by the word of God. I want you to get this. It's very simple, but this is profound. Because this man prayed, he had understanding from the scripture, and because he prayed, God said, okay, great, time's up. Let's change the spiritual atmosphere in all of Persia, the Persian Empire. Let's change it spiritually, and let's change it nationally, politically. My people will be able to go home soon. God started fixing stuff. It changed a spiritual, political climate. A political climate's always a spiritual climate. It's always because of what we love, what we want, what we see, the power that we have. It's all spiritual. Yeah? And it changed because of it. But I also like it here. Daniel prayed because he had a moment of revelation of hope in the text. Something changed for him. This faithful man of God, and I love the word that Leomi brought earlier about despondency and hopelessness. How long will I still sit in this situation? When will things change? That was the question that he had. When will things change? God, I'm praying to you, but I didn't have any hope that things are going to change ever. I'm not saying Daniel didn't have it, but that's the sense of despondency, hopelessness, the word that we heard. And as he was reading it, he got and gained hope from the word of God, which stirred him into action to pray and fast for 3 weeks, or four season, and everything changed personally for him and for all his people, because he was a prophet in his own day. And everyone heard, God is saying, time's up, guys. God is saying, Jeremiah said, 70 years, it's up, let's go home. Let's go back home. And everything changed. And I love it. He read, he prayed in the last slide, verse 21 to 23. Then he saw. He saw something. As he was praying, he had an encounter with God and with an angel. I was going to distract by telling a story of my son Nathan, who saw an angel when he was young, but let's stay here. And he prayed. Now you can ask me afterwards. And he prayed, and he saw an angel, and the angel was sent to him But look, first of all, before this is some profound encounter, look at the message of the angel. I was sent to bring your word and to give you understanding for this vision. Because Daniel, you're so loved, man. You are loved. You are precious to God. Daniel, you are precious to God. The first message that he got before anything else. This man who's been working in this temple, in these palaces for years and years and years, and devotedly praying, he had his God encounters. But I love this message. He's saying, Daniel, before I say anything else to you, can I just say that you are greatly beloved of God? You are greatly beloved. God loves you. God loves to see your devotion. God crazy about you. You are precious. So that's why not just the vision was sent, but I was sent to give understanding of the vision. How do you love that? I mean, that's amazing. An angel will come saying, listen, God showed you a vision. Do you need some instruction in that? And I'm going to go like, yeah. Speak your flock. It's okay, it's a complex. 7 times 7, 62 times 7, messianic promises, kingdom will come. It's going slowly, and the angel just explained everything to him, giving him understanding. But the point is, he's reading from the scroll, meditating, a moment of revelation, fall down on his knees, started praying, and then the Bible says, the moment, it doesn't matter how long he prayed, the moment he bowed down to pray. The moment, he says, the command was given, a decree in the heavenlies to change the spiritual atmosphere, because Daniel's prayers changed the political climate. You know what I love about the Bible? God says that he's not a respecter of persons. James, the brother of Jesus, the year was about 45 after Christ in Jerusalem, complicated, difficult time, hostile time. And he spoke to the people saying, listen, if any man is sick, let the elders call to pray for him. If someone is discouraged, let him, you know, pray with him. And then it says how you should pray and why you should pray. It says, the prayer of a righteous man avails much. The prayer of a righteous man avails much. He says, Elijah, who prayed so that the rain may stop in all of Israel, was a man just like you and me. Was a person just like me and you. There's no difference. It's not because he's such a powerful man. It's because he prays to the one who is powerful. It's because he calls. He recognizes that I need help from God. So I just want to encourage you in this. He prayed. God sent an angel. God gave him another vision. And then what did Daniel do? He proclaimed this vision to everything. And this is the phase in Lectio that I just want us to stand still in. It's a simple reality. A devotion, Daniel's devotion to Scripture every day, paying attention to the Word, as Peter said, kept him grounded in the Lord and faithful to Yahweh in this pagan palace. But as he meditated on it, something happened. He got a revelation. He was moved into action to pray, and as he prayed, God responded powerfully with revelation, and his prayers participated with God's will. And God said, amazing, let's change the atmosphere, because someone on earth agrees with me. Someone on earth speaks my words. Someone prays my will. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Someone agrees with me, and it changed everything. Really want to say to you, your prayers, born from your time of reading in the will of God, is the same. Is the same. It's the same. How do I respond to this text? Well, first of all, read the word and enjoy your God encounters. The God encounters are birthed from prayer. It is absolutely true that God meets us in strange places, with odd ideas, sometimes when you sleep, in a dream, in a vision, sometimes in a conversation, sometimes you listen to a song that isn't necessarily a godly song, but you go like, wow, God, I think something just opened up. It's true. God meets us everywhere. It's true that the Bible says the heavens declare his glory and the earth shines, but it's absolutely true as well that the Bible says your words are pure like silver refined, Psalm 19. God meets us in creation, speaks to us in creation, through creation. God speaks to us through his word, and he speaks through our thoughts and intentions in our heart. But read the word. The encounter comes from the word. Secondly, the invitation is to respond to the word. How do we respond? Quite simply, what moves you when you pray and pray about it? It's simple. Sometimes you read a psalm and you get so psyched up with the reality when you pray for a friend, or you read Psalm 139 and you're thinking about someone who's pregnant and you go like, that's amazing, God, that baby's being woven together in the mother's womb. Hey, you wove me together. God, you did a good job. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. It's a simple response to the prayer, to the word, simple response. But sometimes you read a text and your mind wanders through the Holy Spirit or through just your concerns for a friend that sits in a situation. And the Lord says, ask and you will receive. Or sometimes, I must say, more than once I read through James and I get that text that says, you have not because you asked not. And then I just stop and I'm going like, this war. Ek worry en ek beplan, I'm scheme and I'm concerned, but I'm not necessarily asking. I've simply forgot to ask God for this thing. And then you stop and you go into a conversation saying, God, your word says, ask and you will receive. I have not because I asked not. So God, now I'm asking. And then you have a conversation with God, testing your motives like the next verse says, but it's very simple. And then sometimes you pray, go Psalm 126, the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous. There's the righteous stretch out the hand to wickedness. One of those kingly psalms. And you read the text and you go like, God, it's election time again this year. And you said, the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous. Lest the righteous, God, we ask for a godly government. We ask for a God-fearing government. We pray for righteousness. Righteousness and justice are the foundations of your throne. Mercy and truth extend from your face. And then you pray, but your prayer is different. Your prayers are decrees saying, in Jesus' name, wickedness shall not rest on this land. God, we pray in Jesus' name against every scheme and every sense of corruption. God, we pray that our public sectors, that SAA, and that Transnet, and Eskom, and our schools, and our medical system, God will be free from corruption in Jesus' name. It's a simple, it's a prayer of agreement with God. It's not necessarily a prayer of my feelings. Everything is legit. The point is just, you read the word, don't stop there. Respond. It's God's word to you. You play back to him, saying, God, I agree with you. Or sometimes you can go and say, God, I don't like this verse. I don't like it. Will you make me like it? You know, because God's not going to change, so something's going to change. You know? And the next point is just to wait on God to speak back again. This is what I love about Daniel. I love this text. I mean, it was sufficient that he prayed, no? He heard God said 70 years, he fasts and he prays. But the point is, he watched. He saw. He waited for God's response. There was a moment of just waiting, just the openness to say, are you saying something back that's not in the Bible? So you can put it in the Bible, like Daniel did. It's a grappie, né? I mean, he put it in the Bible for us. Yeah? But the point is, he waited and he responded with what God says to give understanding. God gives a new understanding and revelation. God shows him. God tells him, yes, Daniel, love it. You are dearly loved by me. You are precious. You are very precious to me, Daniel. I love it. I love your humility. I love your passion. I love the fact that you believe me. You believe me. That's why you're praying. You believe me that 70 years. Love it, Daniel. Daniel, can you show you something more? Just because I love you. You know? Can I send you an angel to give you understanding? It's amazing. It's beautiful. Read, respond, and just wait. I want us to read this text, and I just love the piece of architecture, so I put it up there, because this is us reading upwards, you know. The four phases of the lectio is the first one, our eyes are in the text. The next one is a sense of our eyes being closed. It's not always closed, but meditating, thinking, pondering, praying, you know, just working with on the inside. What is God doing on the inside? And the third phase, the response is my eyes is upwards to heaven. Eyes upwards, you know, like in this beautiful ancient building, just looking upwards, you know. So as we read this text, I want you just to respond, to maybe allow this to do it. So we're going to do it together. And Greg, if you and the team can just join us for worship. As I was praying the last three verses, I saw Gabriel, whom I'd seen in an earlier vision. He came to me swiftly at the time of the evening sacrifice. He explained to me, Daniel, I've come here to give you insight and understanding. The moment you began praying, things changed because a word of God proceeded. A command was given. And now I'm here to tell you what it was. For you are very precious to God. Listen carefully so that you can understand the meaning of the vision. I'm going to read it a second time. Perhaps it will be good for you to close your eyes and to focus on the one phrase that moves you. As I was praying, I, Gabriel, whom you've seen in an earlier, whom I'd seen in an earlier vision, he came to me swiftly at the time of the evening sacrifice. He explained to me, Daniel, I've come here to give you insight and understanding. The moment you began praying, a command was given. And now I'm here to tell you what it was, for you are very precious to God. Listen carefully so that you can understand the vision. With your eyes being closed, I just want you to focus on the one phrase, the one or two words that moves you, that speaks to you, the one that catches your attention, the one who hits home, the one who touches you deeper than the other phrases of the Word of God. It's all the Word of God. And I want you just to ask yourself, why does this one move you? What does it say about your desires? What does it say about your situation at the moment? What does it say about situation right in this? What does it say about your longings or your fears? Just think about it for a while. And now I invite you to take those feelings to God in prayer. I invite you to, if you're comfortable, to softly pray. Move your mouth when you pray softly. Just to speak to God about His Word.
Mm-hmm.